We tend to look at the faults of people and condemn them. We dump on them, in one sense. But I just want to, this is an interesting story. There was a bird that lived in Canada. One winter, he announced to the other birds, "I'm not flying south for the winter, I'm staying right here." All the other birds said he was crazy, but he answered, "You're the ones that are crazy. You'll get down south, turn around, and fly right back up here again next year. What's the point?" The other birds took to flight and left him behind. Wondering what winter in Canada would be like, the lone bird was pleasantly surprised at the stretch of Indian summer that lingered long into the fall. "Aha," he said to himself, "I was right to stay. This is wonderful." But then winter hit full force in the middle of December. Shuddering in the cold, the silly bird finally realized, "I must hurry and leave before I freeze to death." He took to flight and made it as far as Montana. And there in midair, he froze up, tumbled to the ground, and landed in a farmer's barnyard. "Oh, what a stupid bird I am," he moaned to himself. "I should have flown south with all the other birds, but now I am about to die." Just then, a cow in the barnyard strolled past the fallen bird, and without realizing it, dropped a big cow plop right on top of him. "Oh, this is great," mumbled the buried bird. "It's not bad enough that I'm about to die. Now I'm covered with cow manure." But then he noticed something he had not expected. The warmth of the plop actually began to thaw him out and restore him to life. "Why, what do you know about that?" said the bird. "This ain't so bad after all." Then he began chirping and singing under the pile of poop. Meanwhile, the barnyard cat was passing by, heard the sound of something coming, singing from the pile. Curious as a cat can be, he pawed around in the pile and uncovered the thawed bird. Their eyes met. There was a moment of silence, a moment of suspense, and then the cat ate the bird. The moral of the story is threefold. First, not everyone who dumps on you is your enemy. Second, not everyone who cleans it off is your friend. Thirdly, when you do get dumped on, it's best to keep your mouth shut. Isaiah chapter 50. But I want you to keep that story a little bit in mind, if you will. And I just want to pick it up in verse 4. And this is our text for today. "The Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples, that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple." The English Standard Version says it this way. It says, "that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary." You know, I find this rather challenging, but I also find it somewhat inspiring. I find this in both ways. See, I'm asking myself the question, what words do I have to say to weary folk around me that will help and sustain them? Where will I turn for inspiration at times like this? Can I be a bearer of good news? I looked up the definition of the word sustain. And it says, it's a whole long list, but listen to what we as disciples are called to do. As God speaks into our hearts and releases something through us, the words that will sustain the weary ones. To keep in existence, maintain, to supply with necessities or nourishment, to provide for, to support from below, to keep from falling or sinking, to prop up, to support the spirits, vitality, to encourage, to affirm the validity of someone, to bear up, to uphold them, as same way as a foundation sustains the superstructure, and how a beast sustains a load, how a rope sustains a weight, to keep from sinking, to maintain, to keep alive, to nourish, to aid, to comfort, to relieve, to vindicate, to endure without failing or yielding, to sustain defeat and disappointment. God has given us a unique challenge and a unique responsibility as disciples of Jesus Christ, that we are to be the ones who know how to sustain the weary ones with a word. You know, there are times that we face in our lives and times that many of us, and you know, those sort of glib cliches don't somehow cut it anymore. Oh, cheer up. Pull yourself together. You'll be okay. This too will pass. It doesn't somehow pass. They're not really helpful. And neither is a lecture on how you yourself never feel weary and you work so much harder than that other person. The beginning of this verse indicates that the word which will sustain comes from God. And I love what it says, morning by morning. And we'll talk about that a bit later. You know, he knows each one of us. He loves us. And he wants to make his resources available to us. He has given us a tongue to encourage and to bless. And yet, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at a few scriptures because I want you to see what the Word of God has to say about this, about what our mandate as members of the body of Christ, and particular as those who are disciples of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, it says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification." That means building up. "According to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear." You know, sometimes people just need to have grace given to them in times of difficulty. James chapter 3 encourages us again, and it challenges us with this little thing that's called the tongue, and how we don't seem to follow what God is calling us to do. James chapter 3, and beginning in verse 9, is talking about the tongue. "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh." We're challenged and we're instructed as to what this tongue is to be used for. The words that he gives us aren't always necessarily Bible verses, but nevertheless, they can be creative and they can be dynamic. Even in the prophetic, the same Spirit is released. It says that in 1 Corinthians 14 and 3, it says, "That comes which is for edification, exhortation, and consolation." And unfortunately, so often we hear the prophetic that comes that is just the opposite. And people walk away, what has gone on? Condemned? Judged? The heart of the prophetic is the heart of the disciple. See, this was talking about Jesus, who gets the word that sustains a weary one, that which exhorts, edifies, and consoles. Some time ago, we had folk from our church in Burundi, and they had come for lunch in our house. And I was in conversation with one of these couples, and I found myself saying how much I appreciated being in relationship with them, about the fact that they were in our church, and that their quiet love, their faithfulness was such a blessing. And the lady turned to me almost surprised and in total tears, just sobbing, and said, I really needed to hear that. I've been feeling really discouraged over the past few weeks. All our plans seem to be going nowhere, and it has made me feel rather useless. But this word has come to sustain me. And it encouraged me too, because God had spoken through me, not a Bible verse, not a, quote, prophetic word, but he had given me something that would sustain the weary one. He had spoken a sustain with a word through me. I was caught up, I was watching a little bit of the Olympics, and this week during the Olympics, there was a British swimmer who was trained by her father, and she was just about to start her race. Her father leaned over and whispered something into her ear just before she was about to take her place on the starting blocks. The commentators were asking one another, I wonder what motivational words her father says to her just before the race. The other one said, I know what he says because I asked her. He just says, I love you. And what marvelous words to encourage her to perform to the highest capability that she has. It reminds me of the occasion when Jesus was being baptized. God the Father to the Son at the time he was baptized. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The message puts it this way. It says, you are my Son, chosen, marked by my love, pride of my life. Do you think it might have been a word that sustained him? Because right after that, where did he go? Into the wilderness to face the temptation. When Paul was battling with persecution and fatigue and fear, God says to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. We need to hear those kind of words. God has a strengthening word to speak through you. God has a strengthening, sustaining word to speak through you, through every one of us. Morning by morning, if we wait on him, he will give us those words. And the challenge for us is, can we be conduits of hope to those who have no hope? It has been said that we can live without a leg or even two legs. We can live without an arm and even both arms. We can live without our sight or our hearing or our taste or our touch. But we cannot live without hope. When one is down and almost out, they don't need to hear how they have failed or reminded of what has gotten them to this state. And we're pretty good at that. They need a word that will sustain them. Something that will carry them through. 1 Thessalonians. You try to say it real fast. 1 Thessalonians. Okay, everybody, come on. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1 Thessalonians. Okay. What is it they say? I got my tongue over my eye teeth and I can't see what I'm saying. But it's this verse in that chapter. In chapter 5, verse 11 says, we are to encourage one another and to build one another up. I love it, even when God's heart is, the way God's heart is focused in this way. Peter again, he says this verse in 1 Peter, I can say Peter really easy. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who has called us under his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, will make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. God's heart That's God's heart. Even in the trials, he's there ready to give the word that will sustain us and help us to move forward. I've told this story before, but it is back many years ago. This would be 1988. And some of you in here know that I went through a very difficult time, very challenging time in my life, but also our lives. And at that point, I had resigned from the church in Vancouver and ultimately ended up here in Vernon, back climbing telephone poles for BCTEL. I loved it for a while. But we were, during that time, Barney, who was my pastor, had said, you know, I want you and Marianne to go away to Oregon for a little while. You need some time just to be together and to wait and have God speak to you. It was interesting he said that. And we had spent this time, we had had about 3 or 4 days in the Oregon coast, and it was a place where we always felt refreshed. We always felt encouraged. It was a difficult time for Marianne too, but particularly for me. And I was at that point where I wondered, you know, this is great, but this is not life. I don't know if I want to continue. I really was at that state. And those who know me, that I have to be pretty bad to get to that state. So we had finished this time, and we went into Portland, and Marianne wanted to pick something up in one of the malls and said, can we stop here before we begin the journey back? We were driving at that time. And we stopped in this mall, and I was sort of downcast and discouraged. And I said, you know, you go ahead and shop. I'm just going to sit here. And I sat down on the bench. And, you know, she was gone, and all this activity was going around me, and it's like, who needs this? I was actually at that point. And out of the blue, this guy walks up to me. I mean, I'm this is how I'm sitting. You know, I'm sort of... You know, sort of like this. And I probably looked worse than I probably felt. And this guy comes up and, you know, he's all bright-eyed and everything. And he simply walks up and he says, you're going to think I'm crazy, but God loves you. And he walks away. And I'm looking, where? But you know something? From that moment, that was the word that I needed to hear. I didn't need a judgment. I didn't need a prophetic word. I didn't need, you know, blah, blah, blah. And God loves you. And you know, that has carried me for the last, well, it'll be 25 years now. Because there's been other times when I've been challenged and I've been done, and it's been tough. But I've remembered back to that day, and I said, you know, it doesn't matter. God loves me. How do I know? Because he told me. You know, in that story, I mean, I looked around, I tried to find this guy to thank him. Nobody, I mean, it was like an angel. And I don't know if it was. But this guy probably woke up in the morning, being a disciple of God, disciple of Jesus, said, Lord, what do you want me to share with someone today? And God probably said, I just want you to tell someone that I love him. And he said, well, who am I supposed to? He says, don't worry, you'll know. And so he was just walking through his day in obedience, and then all of a sudden, he said, this is the person. And God says, and he followed, and he obeyed, and he had finished his task for the day. He had sustained someone with a word, a weary one with a word. It's carried me through. And there are times when I'm in that time, and, you know, I somehow feel like Habakkuk at times when, because I remember back to that time. And I mean, I got to sing this. It's sorry, but you don't, many of you, I don't dare say, do you all know this song? Because I did that last time. Nobody knew it. Okay? But I know Michael will know it, okay? And it goes, you know, it's out of Habakkuk chapter 3. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vine, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Ay, 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 ay. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I'll rejoice in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. Amen. And I've sung that because no matter how bad I can feel and I can identify with this guy, everything's going wrong. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. There's a word that comes that sustains us. See, when we look to God in our down times, there's a verse in Psalm 34. It says, all who look to him will be radiant. Their faces will never be covered with shame. All who look to the Lord will be shining. Hallelujah. And even in the time, turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Just so you know, sometimes even in the midst of life, you say, well, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. But then we have this great promise, this word that comes that can sustain us again. Revelation 21. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no longer any death. There will be no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. No matter what, we still have that promise. One day, there will be a day. And listen, even if people fail you, even if people forget you, even if they discredit you, the Lord is always there. He who will never leave us nor forsake us. I found this verse in Isaiah 42, verse 16. It says this, I will lead the blind by a way they do not know. In paths they do not know, I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them and rugged places into plains. These are the things I will do, and I will not leave them undone. What a wonderful, it is. See, even if we fail, he won't. Because he says, see, it's got nothing to do with us. I will, he says. I will, I will, I will, I will. I will not leave them undone. And unfortunately, that's where we are. Sometimes we have good intentions. I think back of the times when I said, you know, we have good intentions and God speaks to our heart. And how many times have we left the situation with, I should have, I could have, I would have, but I didn't. But he says he never leaves them undone. I don't know, have you ever been in that place? And you said, golly, I had an opportunity to encourage someone and I didn't. And now look. And you feel guilty, every morning he awakes us with a word, if we ask him, that will sustain a weary one. We have good intentions. But see, God is adjusted. He's put us in a family, in a body. It's a wonderful thing. I read this. Just listen to the words of this. You know this about geese, but listen to this. As geese flap their wings, they create an uplift. Now, that's an interesting word. They flap their wings, they create an uplift for the bird following. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock adds 71% greater flying range than any bird who flew alone. They create an uplift. How often do our words uplift? So that they can go that much further than they never were able to go before. This poem is very telling. Because God will never leave them undone. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God in heaven answers prayer. He will make a way for you and will lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on and your body bends beneath the weight of care, he will never leave you then. He'll go with you to the end. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Jeremiah 31:25 says this, "For I satisfy the weary ones and refresh everyone who languishes." Are there any weary ones here today? No? Yeah. Some of you I know, you've gone through difficult challenges. I just think of Robert and Catherine. No lettuce. My goodness. But it's even more. I mean, the weight they've had to carry. They're weary. And they need a word that sustains them. And there are others here, whether you're sick or maybe you've wrestled with things, you've carried things for years and years and years. God has a word for them and for you, but he may use someone else to bring it. Will you be willing to be the conduit today? The Lord has a word for you that is coming to refresh you. I'm not going to sing this one because Elvis Presley did such a good job of it. But listen to this old hymn. Is your burden heavy as you bear it all alone? Does the road you travel harbor dangers yet unknown? Are you growing weary in the struggle of it all? Jesus will help you when on his name you call. He is always there, hearing every prayer, faithful and true. Walking by our side, in his love we hide all the day through. When you get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. I'll read the next verse, but see, someone once said, we are on this earth right now, we are Jesus with skin on. We have a responsibility to encourage the weary one with a word. Second verse goes like this, in the life you're living filled with sorrow and despair, does the future push you with its weight and its care? Are you tired and famished? Have you almost lost your way? Jesus will help you. Just come to him today. He is always there, hearing every prayer, faithful and true, walking by our side. In his love we hide all the day through. When you get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus. Come and reach out to Jesus. I said reach out to Jesus. He's reaching out to you. And listen, even when we blow it, turn with me to Psalm 107. We're just about finished here. You know, there may be someone here today who says, yeah, but you don't know. You don't know. Listen to verse 107. beginning, I want to read from verse 17. Fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. And then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Listen to this. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the Son of Man. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. Let me close with this little story. You know, some time ago, a friend was visiting our home. Now, this was a long time ago. I think it might have been when we were living down here in Errol and Christine's house, when they probably had moved to Winnipeg at that time. But we were in the garden, and we were enjoying a nice summer day, and we were looking outside at the grass, and it had moss, and it had weeds. I mean, it was, and I was looking, you know, what are we supposed to do with this, I asked. And this person said this, I can't remember who it was now. He said this, don't bother about the weeds and the moss. Just give it a good feed of nitrogen, and the vigorous growth of grass will drive out all the weeds. And it set me thinking a little bit about how we tackle problems, how we handle attacks, how we handle weaknesses in our lives. Do we try to defeat temptation, rebuke the devil, and get victory over some sin? Or do we focus on building our faith in us and in others and seek to be strong in the Lord? And I was thinking also about how do we treat people who have moss and weeds in their lives? What do we do? Do we give them a good feed of nitrogen? Now think about that. Do we give them something that eventually will grow up to such an extent that it'll choke out the weeds and the moss? In Jude chapter 1 and 20, it says, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, I pray that out of his glorious riches that he may encourage, may strengthen you with power, through his Spirit, in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And Paul says this in Colossians, we pray that you may please him in every way, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. You know, to live under condemnation and constantly occupied with failure and weakness is a ploy of the devil. I read something this morning. It was just something that came on my email from, I think it might have been through Dayspring Cards or something like this. And I like some of the things they share. But it talked about how the devil is always whispering and always accusing us. And this person in this article, it called it devil static. All it is static. It's just devil static. And we need to tune it out and allow something else to come in. God always pours out his grace and forgiveness and seeks to build us up and affirm his love for us. Can we do the same for one another? Can we always have a place where we can pour out the grace God has given us and pour out forgiveness? Seek to build others up and affirm them in their love and encourage them to go the distance. When we turn our eyes upon Jesus and we turn with others and focus on Jesus and look at full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's seek to put some spiritual nitrogen in our lives, but also some spiritual nitrogen in the lives of others that will help them to go the distance in their lives. The end of this verse in Isaiah chapter 50, and we'll close here, says, he awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Saints, the Lord has words for us. Do we have an ear? Each and every morning, can we receive from the Lord a word that will sustain the weary one? I want to put a challenge out to you starting today. That every morning when you wake up, after obviously you thank God for being alive. That's a good thing. I mean, that's what we do in Africa. Thank God. That's the first thing of their prayer comes out of their mouth. I thank you, Lord, that I'm alive. But then can we say, Lord, have you got a word that will sustain a weary one today? Can I challenge you with that? And see what a difference it will make in your life. And see what a difference it can make in the lives of others. Perhaps that person that you need to receive that word for the weary one, perhaps that person is your wife or your husband or a child. Perhaps it's a business colleague or a student. Perhaps it's a customer or someone that you are standing behind in the line at the bank or the grocery store. Or perhaps, as it was with this guy that found me in the mall, just someone that comes across your path today. He has a word for them. And he wants you. And he wants me to be a conduit for this moment. He sustains me. He gives me a word for the weary one. Jean, you have something? Come. And then we're going to pray. To see if this is on. Oh, I got to hold it. I'm learning. Just a minute. The green light's on. I got green light. Check.
Okay, first of all, I want to thank everybody that prayed for Eden. I think a lot of you know of her accident. I'm not going to talk about that, but I want to talk about the first hour before the accident and a little bit about what happened after as well. It ties in with what Ray was talking here. About 6:30 that evening, Eden says, I'm going into the backyard. I just want to be by myself. And he says, okay, but you know, we have company coming. That was the night that Elizabeth and Sean were down to unwrap their gifts, and his parents were there as well. So she went in the backyard, and then she comes in about a half hour later, and she's just beaming, and she says to Sherry and I, she says, I spent a half an hour talking to Jesus in the backyard, and I says, and what did you talk about? And she says, well, I just thanked him for so many things, for the earth and the beauty of the earth and just so many things. And then she says, I started praying for people to be healed, and especially you, Granny. I want God to heal you. And then she says, I felt this wind come upon me, and it went right into my heart, and I felt it there, and I heard these words, I love you. And then she said, tomorrow morning, it was so real to her, she says, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock and at 6 o'clock, I'm going to meet him again in the backyard. She was so excited about what happened. And then it was probably about an hour and a half that the accident happened. But while we were unwrapping those gifts, this is how God kind of just sustains a person, and you're not even aware of it at the time, but initially you'll know. We were unwrapping these gifts, and the second last gift that we unwrapped before the accident happened was the gift from the Hetlers. And she had wrapped her gift, a lovely wooden bowl, in this material that had Amazing Grace on it. And there was all these notes that were on it, Amazing Grace notes on it. And we were commenting on it, on what a beautiful idea that was. Then when the accident happened, we had just as background music, the Nature Channel on, just for nice, soft music. And there isn't a lot of music on there because there's nature sounds on there. But all of a sudden, while we were praying, while they were at the hospital, Amazing Grace came on. And it was like, I knew then that God is going to do something awesome and wonderful, and it's going to be His grace. When she came home from the around 10 o'clock after she was fixed up by the dentist, she said, and her face literally was radiant, like you said. Her face was radiant when she says, I'm actually kind of glad this happened. It was a real adventure. And then she says, God knew I was going to knock my teeth out. So that's why he told me he loved me. And for about the next day we went to the dentist, his eyes got wide. He looked at her and he says, you're not bruised. You're not swollen. Because it was a major accident. It wasn't just a little thing that happened. And then for about 4 days we could actually see God's amazing work and his grace upon her. On the fourth day, she said to me, and her eyes were tearful, and she says, why did this have to happen? I thought, oh, you are human. She asked the why question. But it was just seeing that word that sustained her, what she knew that, and she still knows that God loves her in spite of what has happened. It wasn't pleasant, but he was there for her. So I just thought this kind of tied in beautifully with what you were saying.
Very good. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, could we? We can just put our hands out like this. Can we just, this is a posture of receiving. Father, you see your people before you. Lord, we declare that as ones who love you and ones whom you love, Lord, we want to be available for you. Lord, we thank you that you are always the one who said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, you are the one who always is releasing the words of encouragement and pushing us and encouraging us forward. Lord, we're standing here because we need a fresh anointing today. An anointing of grace. An anointing of encouragement. Lord, that word that will come that will sustain us, as well as a word that will come that will sustain others. And Lord, we just stand before you, say, here we are, wholly available. We give ourselves to you. We dedicate. Lord, I pray that this week, Lord, as we wait on you, as we awaken every morning, as the scripture says, morning by morning, as a disciple, you would speak that word into us. And Lord, in its simplicity of whatever it is, may if it's only a word that says, God loves you, Lord, let us not discount it, because it may be the very word that brings life to someone today. Lord, we pray that you would use this whole message and these things as you're putting them into us, Lord, to reach those who don't know you. And Lord, we don't want to bash them with the gospel. Lord, we want to entreat them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God loves them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And Lord, that they would know that word that encourages and sustains. Lord, we thank you for our time together this morning. We welcome and we thank you for your presence. And Lord, as we go from this place, Lord, as disciples of Jesus Christ, Lord, fill us with those words. Make us sensitive to what's around us. Lord, prevent us from walking with our blinders on to what's around us. Lord, that we might be those who can bring life to others. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Mako. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Let us go with that today. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Clint and Sharon will be off this week. They're on holidays this week. Evie's gone for 2 weeks. So be praying for them too, for the words that come that refreshes them. Amen. There's coffee. Let's have some fellowship together. Bless you.